and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Can you hear the excitement in my voice? Mm-hmm. Because he's right. I can see him in my peripheral vision.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fugelsang.
Yeah. It's on fire.
I'm your peripheral man, baby. I am the most peripheral man you've ever had in your life, girl.
Good morning, John Fugelsang, live in studio with us for all 3 hours here in Los Angeles.
Oh, it's so good to be back home.
So good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks, honey. What do we owe this pleasure?
I was in L.A. this week. I was hosting the Vision Awards last night at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, along with your friend Lily Tomlin.
Who's coming to my party?
She's coming to your party. She asked me if I was coming to your party.
Yeah,
she's so excited. She's running around talking about it.
Well, listen. Just yesterday, Harry Shearer and Michael McKean both said they're coming. We have two-thirds of a Spinal Tap reunion.
Oh.
I said, Harry, just, you better pick your song for karaoke.
What about the
I
drummer?
I don't care which one.
Is the drummer coming?
He always dies.
Okay.
I'm auditioning for that.
So even if the first drummer had responded to the Evite already?
Yeah. Kablammo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the party happens, it'll be somebody else.
Michael McKean's good with the Twitter, that guy.
Is
good
he? Michael McKean.
Well, he retweets me, so I say that.
Oh.
Yes. Good with the Twitter, the
Michael
McKean.
You're coming in, and there is no excuse.
You're staying in my house, and that's it.
I
may have to come back next weekend. It's so good to be back in L.A. and work on my tan again. It takes a lot of work to look this way, you know.
Because you still look like you're in a vampire movie.
Yes, thank you. This death-like pallor the ladies find so irresistible. It's not that easy. Normally, you have to join a kabuki theater to get a tan like this.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm happy to be back, and I missed you. It's not right without you, and I love the New York studio, but without you and just all your empty bottles of Andre and those Whippet canisters you left behind.
I know. They didn't clean up much when I left.
Not much, but, you know.
We are so happy you're here for today's party. I'm not really prepared because I've mostly been going through the dance and karaoke list with Chris, and he votes no on this.
I hate this song.
I don't know why.
It's not a song, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's play a game called Let's Wait for the Melody to Start.
This is Usher, isn't it?
With Will I Am.
Not enough drugs in the world, Steph.
You can't dance to this.
You know what?
If Lily Tomlin asked John to dance with her to this, he would.
No, I would electric slide
to this. He has no
principles. I would electric slide to this with Lily Tomlin. My God, she's gorgeous.
Well, you know what? All right. I will trade you this. I will put that in the file if we can play my favorite. You know, because I'm a lady on the street and a freak in the bed, as you know.
Oh, God.
Yes.
So as long as I have one Usher song, then I will be I will be happy.
Let's drink.
Yeah!
The ones that please. Little Chris filled cups like double D.
That's right.
What's more when we leave them dead? We want a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed.
Woo! Yeah, baby.
I'm worried about Ludacris' self-esteem. I hope he works on that. I worry. I just get so concerned about Chris.
It's just bravado with music behind it, rap, isn't it?
What are you covering up, Chris? What are you hiding from?
Show us on the doll what happened.
Will I Am was at the Vision Awards last night as well.
My favorite P.
Is he your favorite P?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's probably my favorite
P. I love me
P,
some
though.
P's.
I'm partial to Fergie.
Oh, no.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, she did her part.
I got a feeling there's going to be some peas in my party, too. Some musically, anyway.
Musically, not actual peas.
Yeah, I got a feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Tonight's going to be a good night, I can tell. All right. Van Jones will be coming up on the big show. Former White House advisor Carrie Elleveld of The Advocate
will be on
to talk about her scuffle with John McCain. What a nasty bag of ass.
Oh, man.
Not Carrie Elleveld. John McCain.
Ugly. John McCain is cut and run from every principle the man has.
Yep.
He's a surrender monkey.
And Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania. We've talked health care so much, and she will talk about what exactly kicked in yesterday. Because it's that really irritating time, isn't it, with health care, where you can read exactly what kicked in yesterday, and you go, yeah, the polls just aren't there yet.
We have to repeal it.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like,
here's all this great stuff that it's going to be in this new bill, and it's happening now, and Democrats deny you have anything to do with it.
Yeah, and the pledge, what is it called? Pledge with America? Pledge
yes,
to America?
Giving out furniture polish is what
yes.
they're doing. It's furniture polish for America.
I think they did, because it's a hardware
have, yeah.
store.
I know, full of tools made in China.
But yeah, it's like, oh, guess what? We're going to offer you the opportunity to be discriminated once again on the basis of a pre-existing condition.
Hooray!
Thank you, Boner.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We're on orange alert.
Did you see that the Boner denied yesterday that he's ever stepped foot in a tanning bed or has used tanning products? Yes, he
heard
did.
Heard that. Oh.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I think you
don't
guys...
be racist. I'm an Oompa Loompa.
Way
you're
out
racist.
Of line. You're both way out of line. Lots of guys have complexions exactly like that mm-hmm. in D.C. in December.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Lots of guys sure. look like that in wintertime on the East Coast. I don't know what you're smoking.
He literally did?
He did.
He said
yes.
he has never set foot. Like, wait a minute. Let's
nor
review.
Use products.
Nor use tanning products.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get
not
that color.
Not even the foam?
No.
No.
You don't get that color.
Maybe there was some kind of slippery lawyer thing.
Well, he could
depends
have
depends on what the meaning of tone. Do I use tone? No, I use the foam, not the mist. I don't use the... No, not the spray-on.
Foam?
I use the... They used to have that in the 70s. I used it.
The
that's why
on?
I was orange.
Foam?
I was orange with an afro from my prom.
Was it like fire retardant foam or something?
Yes, that's what it looked like.
Really?
It was like a bande de soleil foam that you could... Yeah, it was like contraceptive foam. Or maybe right. I used the wrong product.
No, I think you used the mousse that you were supposed to use on your hair.
The good news is I didn't get pregnant,
yes.
did I?
You were wearing spermicide to your prom is what you were doing.
So that was your excuse for looking that way.
We gave her the old spermicide dip, kids.
Oh, boy. I keep thinking, what's the slow song they play at every prom?
Always and Forever?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I danced to that in spermicide. Encased entirely. All right.
And
yeah,
well, you did
born.
Come from a Catholic family.
Here's how you can tell I'm a bitter old hag.
Yes.
Because we're looking at the song list and there's slow songs on there. And Chris and I are like, I want that.
Yeah, it's not a prom.
That one's slow.
It's not a wedding.
It's
Stephanie's house.
I mean, Larry King will pester me to slow dance with me, but still, I'm just saying.
He can only slow dance, otherwise he'll break a hip.
Stop it.
What?
Oh.
Stop it.
Oh.
You were just trying to have a...
You got where's your pericomo?
Attrition on my guest list.
How is he going to navigate the steps in your backyard?
Stop it.
You live on a terrace.
He is in great mm-hmm. shape.
But yes, he is.
All right. Have
you seen the crib he lives in?
Speaking of my future husbands, Alan Grayson jumps out to a 13-point lead.
Yep. Good for him.
In Florida. Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, play
you
back.
Know why, Chris?
Right.
Probably because he stopped doing the
Stephanie Miller
program. For
that could
we
be.
Did pause the pause button until after he gets elected. Mm. Because apparently his opponents were using some of that audio to raise money.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Oh, dear. So we're taking a brief pause until he gets reelected and then he'll be back.
He'll deny you three times before the cock crows.
Yeah.
I noticed Contessa Brewer's never been back on.
Well,
since that
do you
little,
blame her?
That little brouhaha. Well, I didn't do it. I'm just like the kid in class that gets the other person in trouble. I didn't do it. She just, I don't know.
Blurted it out?
Well, I don't know what she said, but I wasn't bad. It's just the right-wing websites, you know. Newsbusters. Thanks.
They lie.
Camilla in Naperville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Camilla.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Oh, you're 13.
I'm 13, but this is also just wanted to say we listen to your talk every morning on the bus, and my bus driver and I just love you.
Yikes.
Mm.
Is
your bus driver as drunk as Stephanie is right now?
Yeah.
Stop it. How old is, so is everybody, how old is everybody on the bus?
There's another girl with me, she's 8 or 10, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Sure.
Oh, heavens. Yeah, I question the judgment of you.
My driver is 62.
Oh.
Oh, your driver's 62. All right, well,
yeah.
Well,
you know, you're only young once. You can be immature forever.
Yeah.
All right. Camilla, thank you. Take everybody
love
on.
You.
Thank you for everybody on the bus for me, okay?
They can hear it. You're on speaker.
Oh, hi, everybody on the bus. Say hello.
Say Hi.
Yeah, I think there's only that one
there's
other
only one
girl.
Person. Yeah. Do you live in a rural area?
Naperville's not exactly rural.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, Camilla, get to school safe, okay? Oh.
Okay, love you.
Okay, love you too. All right.
Hang up before you start texting.
Okay. Yeah. That doesn't seem. I don't know about the judgment on that bus driver.
There
okay.
We go. So it's a bus driver with a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old? Is it a hostage situation?
Do I need a megaphone, Camilla? Should I? All right. could I speak to the driver? Okay. All right. That was troubling, wasn't it?
No, that was lovely. Ooh. The children love you, just like Michael Jackson.
I believe children. And they know I believe they're the future.
I believe the children are future.
Uh-huh. Mm. All righty.
You want your second part?
Yay!
You want your second part?
Whee!
I am steamy. He's sticky, messy. He's stuck up with good crap.
It's Christine O'Donnell's campaign manager.
Yes.
Why do I sense that entire busload of kids this morning is going to be singing in homeroom? I'm a lady in the bed, street out, a freak in the bed. Yeah, yeah. Where did you guys learn that?
Some crazy lady on the radio.
It's the Roman Polanski
Mommy,
Daycare Center.
I'm a lady in the street and a freak in the bed. Oh, boy. Okay. Jesus crackers. Okay. 18 minutes after the hour. Oh, I can even do it on my iPad, by the way, which I want to talk to you about next. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to behave, for goodness
sake. All right.
Otherwise, you're going to have all idiots listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Barry in New York. You're on with John Fugelsang. Hello.
Good morning, Mama.
Hi, Barry.
Hi. I just have a message for wishy-washy Democrats. If you hang out in the middle of the road, you get hit by traffic going both ways.
Word.
And last night on the Ed Show, Alan Grayson really pointed that out well.
Yeah. That's why he's my hero.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, both of them, but yes, Alan. Oh, by the way, Mama will be on the Ed Show today on MSNBC.
Oh, okay.
Here
is
my
little
watching. All right, my little plug-a-roo. Yes,
I did not know that.
I forgot to tell you that. You know, we take care of most of our business on the air.
I'll be on the Joy Behar show. I'll be on the Joy Behar show on Monday, not talking about serious political issues.
Okay, good.
Yes.
What will you be talking about?
Celebrity gossip, I'm guessing.
Okay. Uh-huh. You unfortunately have had the experience of listening to Glenn Beck on the radio recently.
Yes, I did.
How did that go for you?
Well, I've been down south for most of the year, as you know.
Yes.
On the Great Hospice Tour of 2010. And last week, after Christine O'Donnell, my old friend from the Bill Maher days, after Bill played the tape, where she said that she was a witch.
She dabbled.
She was a witch and went to but yet there was a satanic altar with blood on it, not Wiccan. So I think she was led down the wrong coven. But Glenn actually defended this by saying, remember in Wizard of Oz, are you a good witch or a bad witch? Mm-hmm. Well, folks, I'd rather have a good witch than a bad Marxist. And I thought, Glenn, that's the first time ever a homophobe has cited Glinda as a reference from the Wizard of Oz. So I was pretty inspired by that.
Hmm.
So thank you, Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck, friend of Dorothy. Who really knows?
Who can say? Next, you'll find him at Wicked.
Yeah, I told you I made a Wizard of Oz reference to a straight guy, and that was a mistake.
Why?
Oh, when I was leaving New York, I said I'm going to miss you because he wrote me a nice, you know, I'm going to miss you. The head of our syndicator, and I said I'm going to miss you most of all, Scarecrow. And he was like, first of all, he's a New Yorker. He's like, who are you calling a Scarecrow? What are you talking about? I was like, it's from Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
I was like, oh, you're a straight guy.
It?
You're a straight guy. Never mind.
You know what?
I'm a straight guy, and I know the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, everybody watched it every single year on TV.
He had no idea
TV.
What he was talking. He thought I was calling him a Scarecrow. I was like, well, no, it's a... Okay.
Hmm.
Well, he must be really straight, ladies.
Exactly.
Let's get his name. He's uber straight. I bet he wears a frayed denim jacket with the sleeves cut off.
Okay, speaking of which, we have to talk quietly.
No, that sounds pretty gay, John.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So remember I told you?
The more you try to look straight, the more gay you look.
Yeah, exactly.
Go on, Steph.
Yeah, here's a tip for preacher. What's his name? Bishop...
Terry Jones?
Bishop Spandex, whatever his name is.
Bishop Tom of Finland?
Bishop Long.
Bishop Tom of Finland.
He's got a Tom of Finland stash, man.
Straight guys don't wear spandex. He's the pictures he sent of himself to the boys.
Well, it was spandex head
to toe. He's the anti-gay preacher in Atlanta.
George Reekers.
No.
The one with the rent voice.
Bishop Long. It's a new one.
Oh, Bishop Long. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, the African-American hypocrite.
Yes. Yeah, he was dressed in spandex from head to toe. He looked like a superhero.
Oh, he wasn't.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
Just saying. I've never known a straight man to wear spandex head to toe.
And there were iPhone pictures taken in the bathroom mirror.
A lot of guys wear spandex. It doesn't make him
really?
Gay. A lot of guys wear ascots. Truman Capote. That didn't make him gay.
But he...
Okay, let's...
He told me it wasn't.
I should have asked Philip Seymour Hoffman about that.
You should have.
Who won an Oscar for Capote. He was on the show yesterday.
Yes, a very, very good interview.
Why, thank you.
Yes.
All right.
I thought he should have played the bad guy in Mission Impossible 3 as Capote. That would have worked better for
Every now and again, Rebecca kidnaps Ryan Seacrest, Booker, and puts him in the closet. You know, like he puts a gag in his ball gag in and he's in
the
closet.
Lying around
and then
this office.
We get all those bookings and they don't know it's not Ryan Seacrest's show. And then I get through the whole show with a bunch of Oscar and Emmy winners, and then they're like, oh.
He wasn't the. Philip Seymour Hoffman wasn't the most talkative gent.
No?
He's great. I love him.
And he didn't remember you.
He did not remember me at all. We did off Broadway together.
He didn't remember you?
Yes.
He didn't remember you.
That's exactly what he sounded like.
Excuse me?
He didn't remember you.
No.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
I have a question. Could I please get to my... Okay, Chris, we have to talk quietly.
Okay,
so you know someone gave me an iPad as a gift?
Yes.
For a birthday gift?
And your computer guy came yesterday to help you with it.
Yes, it's not the 3G. Can you exchange it?
Horrible friend.
No, Stephanie, it's a gift.
But you can't get internet anywhere except in your house or whatever, unless you have the 3G kind. Let me exchange it.
So are you going to, what are you going to do? Give it to me or keep it?
No.
No, you can give it to me.
No, I'm not giving it to anybody.
Where else are you going to use
it? Well, I don't get it. You know how you and I talked about, like, what is it? What does it do? It's not a phone. It's not a laptop.
No, I mean.
If it's not the 3G, you can't get internet unless you're somewhere with internet.
With Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Everywhere has Wi-Fi now.
Yes, that's how the
really?
Pad gets
loose.
Well, I never leave my house, so I guess it
doesn't
matter.
Your house has Wi-Fi?
Yes, I can use it in my house.
And you can use it in hotels and airports.
I can't use my little Verizon wireless card.
No.
There's two places
that's
you hang out.
That's not what it's for.
You hang out at your house and the bus stop, and you get Wi-Fi in both places. So I don't see what the problem is. It, your pad gets wings.
How do you know about the bus stop? All right.
You post on Craigslist about it.
Not everyone, you know, kids on the far right is happy with the GOP pledge to. Is that the product pledge?
It's the furniture polish for America.
The GOP end dust to America. We will find. We will find out who is unhappy next in right wing world.
Really? No, red state not happy.
As we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Too seriously. A lot of what she says is intended as humor.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, John Fugelsang continues to mock my party song list during the breaks.
Hardly. I just said play cool in the gang. They never play that at parties. Celebrate.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. All right.
I went to a party at Stephanie's house once. It was electric slide the whole time.
Yeah.
All white people doing electric slide.
And it's hard to do the electric slide on her terraced backyard.
Yeah, I found that. Because people kept falling off the balcony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What?
What is this? Dancing with the Stars? Stop bitching.
She gets a compost heap of dead party guests.
Yes.
Oh, look at this. The Republican Pledge to America replaces the Affordable Care Act with provisions from the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they went like this with their hands when they did it, so it's different when they did it.
Finally, they believe in recycling.
Hi. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we have Guy Benson, Carl Rove, on the Hannity Show.
Look, we're reaching to a point where the Democrats are pulling down their TV in Arizona and Phoenix because Mitchell, House, or the Congressman Mitchell, is in deep trouble. They're going to have to cut their advertising in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania, where they're falling so far behind that it's going to be a waste of their resources. We got to keep this battlefield building and expanding, the Republicans do, by making certain they've got good candidates, good message, and strong resources to keep building the file. The battlefield. Yeah.
Carl, who?
Yeah.
It's hard to hear him under the bus there, isn't it?
Thank you, ma'am. I have another.
He got teabagged by his own party.
He was in the Pulp Fiction dungeon for a while.
Oh, bring out the gimp.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you through the ball gag. What did you say?
Christine O'Donnell.
The gimp's atoning. Beautiful.
Okay.
How did Sean Hannity manage to book Karl Rove? Good job.
Wow. Nice,
they
nice.
Got some producers over there.
Nice.
Who next? Carrie Trajan?
And speaking of that, I'm thinking that Rick Santorum is having an affair with Greta Van Susteren. He's on that show every single
really?
Night.
Oh, no.
Greta. Like on a Labrador.
I hope Greta doesn't get Santorum on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she may have dumped Todd Palin.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm. But not Sarah Palin. No.
Funny, Greta, though, that we are learning more about Christine O'Donnell and her college years and her
yes.
teenage years mm-hmm. and her financial dealings than anybody ever even bothered to ask about Barack Hussein Obama as a candidate, now as our president. We're learning a lot about Christine. She just needs to stay on message, and she's doing great. She's going to win.
Yeah, she hasn't even had a job as community organizer.
Yeah, she's double digits down. I don't think she's
by the way,
when
next time someone
what
says...
What a nasty biatch. Do you mind if I just say that? Barack Hussein Obama.
Mm-hmm.
She is not fit to be, seriously.
Next time someone says his middle name's Hussein, kids, you just say right back, really? Like the guy Reagan armed all those years? And watch their heads explode.
Yeah.
You can't hate Hussein and love Ronald Reagan.
But yeah.
The guy who Donald Rumsfeld shook hands with?
But mm-hmm. this is the stupid, like, talking point they do over and over again. We don't really know anything about Obama. We don't really know anything about it. It's like, what are you talking about?
Born in Kenya. That's about it, really.
What do we not know about this president that we don't know about every president that's ever run? We know his entire background.
He wrote two books, Haley Barbour. The guy wrote two books. It's there. You got to learn to read first, then you'll know about him.
That's more books than Haley Barber's written. What do we know about Haley Barbour?
What do we know about Haley Barbour?
We don't.
And first of all, what we know about Christine O'Donnell is that she's a crook that belongs in prison.
Yep.
Her entire job has been living off her campaign cash, for God's sakes.
Please.
And saying nutty things.
Donate to me because Mom wants a Slurpee. I mean, that's pretty much her whole... the woman hasn't had a job. And again, I've met Christine O'Donnell. She's really, really nice. Democrats misunderestimate her at their peril. But media has to try to get to her and say, do people who aren't Christian go to heaven? Because that's it. She doesn't think that non-Christians go to heaven.
Wow.
And no one will ask her about it.
Well, you know, Bill Maher said much the same thing you did. I know her. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
Not a mean bone.
I mean, that's the difference. I mean, actually, he said it. Sarah Palin is mean. I mean, that's the difference. But she's still dangerous.
Well, Christine O'Donnell
she's
said
dangerous.
Some very, Christine O'Donnell has said some very mean things. In fact, O'Reilly had to shut her up on his show a couple of years ago because Christine O'Donnell said that Nancy Pelosi wasn't a real Christian. Offensively enough, she said she more or less suggested that only born-agains and evangelicals are real Christians.
Well, she's also said gay people have an identity disorder, that condoms cause AIDS,
that's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Chris, I understand her lesbian sister lives here in West Hollywood.
Really?
Rebecca, let's see if we can get us a booking this morning.
Well, no, her sister supports her. It's not like a Newt Gingrich lesbian.
Rebecca, can you go out to a girl bar and see if you can find Christine O'Donnell's sister?
On the Hannity show, Christine O'Donnell said, they're attacking me personally, not attacking my positions, but trying to attack me. But on January 25th, 2007, O'Donnell, then a president of an outfit called the Faith and Flag Alliance, was on O'Reilly.
Faith and what?
Faith and Flag.
Uh-huh.
Flag.
Sorry.
And she said, let me say Nancy Pelosi can benefit from making Christians look bad because she touts her Christianities when it's politically expedient, yet she doesn't follow any of the Christian moral principles.
Wow.
She's a chino.
Wait a minute. Where did you hear? So you heard that her lesbian sister supports her?
Her lesbian sister, I believe, helped her campaign, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
That
it's
must be awkward.
It's not going to be like Newt Gingrich.
Really? I really just like to have a little chat. I wonder how Thanksgiving's go. Excuse me, identity disorder. Could you pass the gravy?
Yes,
excuse
witch.
Me, biological error? Do you have the potatoes down on your end?
Yeah, witch. Pass the biscuits.
All right.
The O'Donnell family. Let's buy Mom a house.
Yes.
People in the live blog are asking if they could have your iPad.
No! grabby bastard. All right, let's. I apologize in advance, John. Brian Kilmeade and Gretchen Carlson.
Oh, yeah. Three-way of my dreams.
You just lost two IQ points even before listening.
Oh, God, teabag me now.
Stewart's got a book out. Mm-hmm. He gave birth to Stephen Colbert's star power. He follows. I think Stephen Colbert is actually doing better than him ratings-wise. Mm-hmm. He has to sell his live event and his book, so he sought out Bill O'Reilly.
But the problem is a lot of people actually consider him to be real news, which
right.
is...
Well, see, that's why the Stephen Colbert thing is interesting, to have a comedian down in Washington.
Oh, that's the funny, and the even funnier thing is some people consider Fox real news. That's, yeah, let me just say, Jon Stewart is more real news than Fox News could ever hope to be.
Brian Kilmeade is a failed sportscaster, and Gretchen Carlson is a beauty queen.
Yeah, I love him implying Jon Stewart's not really doing that well. Yeah. Okay, sure. He had to seek out Bill O'Reilly. Oh, please. He's always done O'Reilly's show.
Yeah. And O'Reilly's actually going on The Daily Show. Sometime very soon.
And Ducey.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh on the president.
If you voted for Obama, you deserve to be in misery because that's what he has in mind for every one of us.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Until you start voting the right way, including voting for yourself, you deserve to suffer the consequences of your actions. If you're going to vote for a bunch of socialists who believe all money need to reside in the state, and they only decide who gets what, and they decide when you get a job, then live with it.
Well, that's lies. Here's the thing. Rush said in that if you voted for Obama, you deserve unemployment and you deserve
misery.
That's
what I heard in all those speeches.
Yeah. If you voted for Bush, you helped cause unemployment and misery. Mm. You helped cause it.
You know, the funny thing, John, is I recall someone saying that until you win an election, you should shut up.
Just shut up. Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out till you win an election. When you win an election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the court. But until then, shut up.
Is he doing his show from a rat hole now, I imagine?
He should be.
Until he wins an election.
The only people who dislike Obama more than Republicans are actual socialists. Big fans of Barack. Insurance companies, they love him. How are they still getting away with the socialist thing?
I don't know. Glenn Beck on the TV.
A lot of people on television are going to talk about the GOP pledge to America today. And it has some good stuff in there.
Uh-huh.
But it also has some stuff I don't understand. My biggest problem is I'm looking for something bold. I'm looking for, remember, shock and awe? I'm looking for something that actually moves us dramatically in the right direction. But maybe the rest of America isn't there yet.
Maybe something with really loud, annoying music under it. Maybe that would make it better.
Remember shock and awe? I want a GOP pledge that kills civilians. That's what I want. I want thousands of dead Middle Eastern people.
Did he borrow the music from Commando Eagle or some other... I don't know, Iraqi operation under the Bush administration? I don't know.
Listen, I don't watch news without loud electric guitars underneath.
Yes,
that's
exactly
the only way I can understand the news.
You would like a little more macho. Pledge to America! Sunday!
WrestleMania. It's the Satanic Altar Show with Twisted Ogata.
They named their stupid thing after a cleaning product, for God's sakes. How macho can it be?
It's Lemon right. Pledge with America.
It's Windex on America! All right. by the way, I was listening to my friend, the Hoa, Randy Rhodes, yesterday, and she's big on homework, you know. She's like, read it! You gotta read everything! It's on my website! This one, she's like, I don't even bother. There's nothing in there. It's like 20 pages. It's the same stuff. 43 after. But it's true. It's not even worth reading. You know exactly. It's like, okay, got it. Tax cuts for the rich, blah, blah.
There's nothing new in it, and a lot of hardcore conservatives aren't happy with it. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds like a lot of nothing.
Little dollop of gay bashing and a, dusting.
If I believed in radio, I wouldn't be. If I believed in reading, I wouldn't be Republican.
All right, Hannity on his.
I don't see the pragmatism that Clinton had. In President Obama, he's never shown anything but his adherence to his rigid ideology. Did you really believe that Barack Obama, in any way, shape, matter, or form, will deal with any bill that repeals health care? Do you think he'd really support tax cuts across the board?
Why would he want to?
Oh, that would be Clinton-like pragmatism to repeal the thing that you just worked so hard to get enacted.
Through.
Yeah, I see.
By the
Clinton,
way,
who also tried to get health care done.
Hannity's an idiot.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, Sean, adherence to rigid policy, that's destroying your party right now.
I mean, really, it's amazing. Like, the current, it used to be nutjobs voted for Republican.
Yeah.
Now nutjobs are running as Republican.
Yeah.
And Michelle Bachmann is
becoming
the norm.
Tell me, in the private offices of Fox News, people like Sean Hannity don't know what a complete disaster and idiot the Christine O'Donnells of the world are. Can you imagine you come into work every morning and go, oh, no. Who do we have to defend?
They
probably spend half the day with their head in their hands. Oh, no.
O'Reilly and Shep, but Sean Hannity's got a really sick Catholic thing going. He's got a really sick little altar boy. I don't know what kind of skeletons or body parts or bones he has in his closet.
Yes.
But Sean's got therapy that would take forever, and Sean believes everything he says. Sean talks about Clinton need to be impeached for lying under oath with Oliver North, you know?
Yes, I know. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, we continue Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
You're right. You're the only straight guy in America that thought of that this morning.
Yes,
Eddie Fisher has died. John Fugelsang wonders if Liz Taylor and Debbie Reynolds still have the strength for one last cat fight at the funeral.
Will they both
be
at the funeral?
Yeah.
And will there be a slap fight?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he died. I would say he left life for death.
Okay.
Yeah, he abandoned life.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. What is it called? Pledge to America.
A lemon pledge to America. Lemon fresh pledge.
It is a lemon pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and try to make lemonade with that. All right. Boner.
I just think that we've got to have a healthy economy where more people are working, more people caring for themselves, their family, and paying taxes if we're serious about getting America in a stronger position.
Okay. Well, those are some new ideas.
Let's make America stronger by doing the same things that got us here.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a spitball sort of session, kind of a figuring out, like, what cleaning product to call it?
Yeah, that was a meeting they had at that pizza parlor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they tried some other things besides Pledge?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. They tried Murphy's Oil.
Exactly. Murphy's Oil for America. No, that's not right.
Mm.
All right.
Can you imagine, like, the fights over how...
Ajax have a no.
Like the fights they must have had over how gay-hating the pledge was allowed to be. Like, oh, it doesn't hate enough. There's not enough hate in this thing.
Exactly. The scrubbing bubbles of America... Oh, no, that's not right. All right. Soft scrub of America? That would have been a good one.
No.
Soft
scrub of America. Uh-huh.
The boner won't tolerate the word soft.
Okay, the boner.
When Republicans were in charge of Congress, we made our fair share of mistakes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I think we've demonstrated over the last 20 months.
No, you haven't.
That Republicans have heard the American people.
No.
No, you haven't.
No, actually, did you see this? That their website? Where's my marijuana music? Their website, you know, because this is what they asked America.
Marijuana music.
They asked America for what their ideas were.
Yes.
And the number one thing was legalizing pot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a bunch of stuff, which didn't make it, unfortunately.
Well, in the interest of liberty and freedom, yeah, you would do that. Like our much more free friends in Amsterdam.
Bunch of stoners just eating some food and taking a Republican survey, dudes. And that was it. And they did not listen to the people. The number one thing the people wanted was legalized pot.
And they didn't listen.
Nope. No.
Which a conservative would do.
Exactly.
So would a libertarian.
Yeah, we believe in freedom. Not for the stoners, no. Go to your fish concerts.
Chris in Long Island. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Listen,
good afternoon.
Mr. Fugelsang there.
Yeah, he's here.
Yes, John!
Hey, Mr. Fugelsang, your dad was my assistant principal back in 1982.
No way! Right on, at Longwood High School in Middle Island.
That's right, great man.
Thank you.
Now, also, I found it kind of ironic when you were making fun of Mr. Beck and his heavy metal band that you guys played a Ministry song that had a sample of George Bush saying it's a new world order.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, that song is NWO by Ministry. You're right. And it has a sample of George Bush saying new world order.
Yes, I find that funny.
Uh-huh.
And being one of the last few union workers in the United States, I'm a little disappointed in Obama, who was not pushed for the anonymous union vote.
Employee Free Choice Act or Card Check?
correct. And
yeah.
He's really just sort of let it die. And no one's been, and the unions really did stand up for Obama and the Democrats last time
yeah,
around.
Yeah, I am totally with you on that. Here's the thing, Chris, you probably hear me talk all the time. I mean, you know, do I wish he was moving faster on some things? Am I really disappointed in that, in the, you know, don't ask, don't tell? But, you know, I was talking about this, John, yesterday. You know me. I'm the happy, clappy liberal. But the president literally a couple days ago getting heckled by gay rights activists and, you know, AIDS activists. And it's like, you know, I thought he made a good point that, you know, you should be yelling at the other people's events, because if they get back in, they're going to cut AIDS funding and gay rights will take a huge step backwards.
That's
you know,
true. That's true. But the more liberals heap abuse on Obama, the more the middle sees that Obama's not a liberal and they won't be afraid of him. Keep in mind, it's the one situation
where I'm smarter than I think.
Exactly. Exactly. They want to distance themselves from the left at election time. So in a way, you're helping Obama. And listen.
Thank God I'm not bright enough to even have known that till you said it.
The president showed up at Netroots in that videotaped address, and he said to all the progressive activists, he said, keep on my case. Keep pushing me. So unions especially.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
after what we saw with Blanche
Lincoln. No, I speak
to a lot
of union groups, and I don't blame them. They have put a lot of skin in the game here, as they say, and a lot of muscle behind the president. And to me, those things are no-brainer. That we should have the Employee Free Choice Act. I mean, it's
well, you know what? When they come to you with their hat in their hands in 2012, have your list of demands ready.
Yeah.
They work for us.
Right. So House Republicans released the Pledge to America. A sweeping set of proposed changes to domestic and security policy, including promises to freeze most government hiring, cut Congress's budget, place hard caps on domestic spending accounts, and prevent the phase-out of tax cuts that are set to expire in 2011, and repeal and replace healthcare. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, but they want to repeal it, but then replace it with
many of the same things that were already in it.
Yes. Exactly.
So one might have thought that one might have actually come to the table and actually friggin' helped. When we were doing it, it's so close. That's exactly what the president was saying. We're in agreement on, remember, whatever high percentage of stuff. Why won't you just...
Right.
Because they didn't want him to win. They didn't want him to get credit. Now they want to
replace...
Because
clearly they have no new ideas.
It literally is like that commercial where the guy goes, I just said that. No, you didn't. You didn't. I said this and I did this with my hands. It's like, what? Then they're going to go, please, thank us for health care now, won't you?
Yes. They
ridiculous.
Have nothing, folks. They have nothing. Their entire agenda is redistribution of wealth to the upper 2%, and that's all they got, and all this pledge is.
And by the way, many of the reforms envisioned by House Republicans, highly unlikely to ever become law. As we said, Chris, it's the promising everybody sparkle ponies that fart glitter.
Yes. Bring back pre-existing conditions. Bring back pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm. So they unveiled it at a hardware store in Sterling, Virginia. And it's 20 pages.
Wow.
It's 20 whole pages.
The original contract with America was about 850 words.
And you know how many points of the contract with America were enacted?
Zero.
Not a single one.
But term limits sound so good when you say it.
Yeah.
If they believed in term limits, they'd quit.
Pelosi's office said congressional Republicans are pledging to ship jobs overseas, blow a $700 billion hole in the deficit to give tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires, turn Social Security from a guaranteed benefit into a guaranteed gamble, and once again subject American families to the recklessness of Wall Street and take away patients' rights.
Oh, that's bad
now. Which I think
is
a pretty good summation of what is in this friggin' thing. And in a bow to social conservatives, I love this, they vowed to prohibit taxpayer funding of abortions. Which we already have in the Hyde Amendment.
We have the Hyde Amendment from the 70s. Do you know my dad, before he died, had to go to his church with a copy of the Hyde Amendment to show them, and he said, take this crap out of your bulletin because they're not using federal funds for abortion. It's illegal.
Yes. And, of course, another social issue, protecting traditional marriage.
Oh, thank God.
It's also mentioned in the document.
My marriage is so on shaky ground now because you gays who want to marry and be happy.
Yes.
I hate when you want to be happy.
58 minutes after the hour, right back as we continue with Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. We are in the midst of Fridays with John Fugelsang, all 3 hours here in the L.A. studio with us. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the Ed Show on MSNBC tonight. Don't forget, I'll be doing the comedy segment.
Hot. The tension between you two.
6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Big show coming up. Kelly Elleveld. Elleveld? Did I say it right? Yes.
You did.
Who got for the Advocate, and she will tell us about her scuffle with John McCain.
Carrie.
Carrie. What did I say?
You got the first name wrong, but the last name right. And the Ellevelds, were in Lord of the Rings, right?
As you know, I'm a little drunker on Fridays than the normal shows. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania will talk to us about all what kicked in yesterday in health care as we continue. And one of our very personal favorites, Van Jones, who is one of those scary czars that Fox News used to warn you about. he was from the White House advisor on green jobs, et cetera. Environmental advocate, senior fellow now at the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Van.
Good morning to you.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
I love it every time.
Well, listen, I want to talk to you in particular because I'm, you know, back out here in California. I want to talk about the races out here. In particular, Meg Whitman's stand on Prop 23. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I could certainly tell you a lot about Prop 23. If anybody's confused about this one, this is big Texas oil money trying to knock out Silicon Valley. That's all it is. It's Texas versus Silicon Valley on clean energy. California has been able to get out in front of the world with climate legislation called AB 23. And as a result of that, all kinds of money, billions of dollars, is poured into the state. It's the only part of the state that's working. And Texas oil money got terrified that they're going to come up with better solar and wind and all this new technology and have jumped into California politics and put this stupid ballot measure on called Proposition 23, which would essentially knock out the only part of California's economy that's working. So anybody that's for that is not paying attention.
Wow. And you write on the Huffington Post, Prop 23 would destroy 500,000 jobs in California. Like, we can afford that. Many in construction and high-tech manufacturing by 2020, while costing the state $80 billion in gross domestic product. This number does not even include the $20 billion in GDP growth and 100,000 new clean energy jobs California can create in the next 10 years if its environmental and clean energy policies are upheld and Prop 23 is voted down.
Well, exactly. And here's the thing about it, that you talk about comedy. This is the comic aspect of this is that these Texas oil guys say they're doing this because they're so concerned about California workers not being able to have jobs. And so what we've got to do is suspend all this environmental regulation until we have more jobs. As if these billionaires wake up in the morning going, how can we get more jobs for the people in Watts? How can we get more jobs for the people in the Central Valley? They don't care one whit about workers in Texas, let alone workers in California. And yet that is the rationale. Supposedly this is going to somehow protect California's economy. This is the kind of stuff that lets you know that we're winning, that people, they can't just come straight out and say they just want to keep us on oil forever. Nobody's going to go for that. So instead, they see this economic threat from Silicon Valley, those investors and inventors who see the future and are going for it, and they want to kneecap them with this cheap ballot measure. Prop 23. Everybody should be against this ballot measure. It's a joke of a ballot measure.
Now, Van, I saw yesterday that the race is pretty much a dead heat between Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown, and I don't know how you think that's going to come out, but it really is amazing. I don't even think you need to have much of the Google to remember that things were a lot better when Jerry Brown was governor.
A whole lot better. In fact, I think what people forget about Jerry Brown, when he was the guy who put together this thing called the Office of Appropriate Technology. This is back in the 70s. That was the office that made the huge contributions to something that we now call solar panels, we now call wind turbines. That stuff didn't exist before Jerry Brown. Now, I'm not trying to get him in trouble saying he invented the Internet or anything like that. But what I'm trying to say is that he created conditions in California where some of the most important innovation in the world happened, and we need that again. This is a time for innovation in America. It's a time for innovation and entrepreneurship, again, in California. He's the guy that knows how to create those conditions. And I think that people need to keep that in mind as they think about who to vote for.
Van, I'm going to go speak at a brunch tomorrow morning for Senator Barbara Boxer because that's the one race I have to say I just am so emotionally involved in that I just think Carly Fiorina is awful on every level, and I think Barbara Boxer is one of our finest senators. It just, it kills me that this could even be close. I mean, I know Senator Boxer has been pulling ahead, but I mean, yeah. I can't say it enough, Van. How do you take someone that was named one of the worst CEOs of all time, ran a company into the ground, shipped how many jobs overseas, kept giving herself bonuses, get out of there with a golden parachute, and that's the record she's running on, and it's not fair to talk about that record.
She has better hair.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that kind of petty comment that she made about Barbara Boxer is reflective of the pettiness of her approach when she was a leader at HP. Here's, I think, what we've got to keep in mind. You know, Barbara Boxer, she's a personal hero of mine. I think she's a hero of folks throughout the state of California. Again, Carly Fiorina is on the wrong side of something as simple as Prop 23. She's out there saying that we should vote down the only thing that's holding up California's economy. And I thought Barbara Boxer had the best line in American politics last week when she said, guess what? Once again, Carly is trying to outsource jobs to China, because she did that at HP, and now if California gives up its advantage, all those green jobs and all those investments are going to go to China. It's consistent. She heard her public posture, which is her private role, which is horrible for HP, is translating now into horrible economic ideas in a public role for California.
Yeah, well,
green
absolutely.
Jobs are so yesterday.
Yes. Hey, and you know, I just want to say one thing, because the other side loves to say, oh, these green jobs, they don't exist. This is all fantasy stuff. Let's look at the numbers. There are 80,000 coal miners in America, and we love them. We support them. They're heroes. They risk their lives every day to power America. There are also 80,000 workers in the wind industry right now who are a part of helping to power America in a new way. There are 46,000 jobs supported by the solar industry. So we already have more green jobs in the energy sector than we have coal miners in America, and we're just getting started. So I think we've got to keep that in mind as we hear these lies. And again, we got to remember the source. If anybody wants to believe the Texas oil guy's main concern with California politics is making sure our economy is strong, you know, I know a political party they should be joining.
Ha. Van, what is your general take on the midterms? I mean, obviously we've seen some polls now with some slivers of good news for the Democrats. I mean, I just, you know, when you look at this array of Tea Party candidates, I don't want to do the thing everyone says, oh, you're underestimating them. I just can't believe when push comes to shove, people are going to vote for these people like Christine O'Donnell.
Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. Nobody has a crystal ball. What I remember is 1998, when, you know, everybody was mad at Bill Clinton, and understandably so, and people thought that folks were going to rush out there and follow Newt Gingrich's path to greater glory, and the Republican Party came up short, and they were in disarray for two more years. Anything is possible. The only thing that is required is that people who know better do better. I've talked to too many progressives who say, oh, they're just not going to vote. They're just not going to participate. They worked so hard in 2008, and they didn't get everything done in 2 years, so now they're just going to cede the field to people who hate everything that we stand for. Mm-hmm. I think that's ridiculous. And I think what we've got to be able to tell people is, you know, sometimes you vote your hopes, sometimes you vote your fears. If you're out of hope, you got plenty to be afraid of.
It's time for us to use fear mongering. Say it with me, Senator Christine O'Donnell. Senator Rand Paul. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. But, you know, I like the president's, you know, the few of his lines lately about, you know, if you want your car to go forward, you put it in D. If you want it to go back, you put it in R. You know, he said that, you know, the last election was about, what did he say about change?
Yeah, he said the last election we had to change the guard. Now we've got to guard the change.
Yeah.
And he got that great line from Governor Patrick in Massachusetts. And again, you know, here's the thing. You know, when it's time to vote, everybody puts on their partisan jersey, and I think that's fine and good. Hopefully, when we get on the other side of this election, we get a chance to try to actually, you know, fix the country and focus on the problems. I think one of the big source of heartbreak for me is, you know, both candidates in the last election put up, you know, McCain and Obama, who had a track record of reaching across those party lines and trying to get something done. And I think that's really what the vast majority of Americans still want to see. The problem is that we hit this wall of opposition, this wall of no, from the other side here in D.C., and it's now, you know, I think, poisoned politics across the country. Everybody we can cheerlead for our respective teams, but on the other side of this thing, we still got to figure out some way to come back together and actually figure out how we're going to get the 8 million jobs back.
But, man, interesting you bring up John McCain, because there's, you know, the perfect visual is 2 days ago, here's the guy, you know, Mr. Reach Across the Aisle, Mr. When the military comes to me and says it's time to repeal this policy, we'll do it. You know, being the last man standing to make sure Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't get, you know, repealed when 75% of the American people are for that. I mean, it just, you know, this is where we've come.
And it's such a heartbreak, because don't forget, this is the same John McCain who, at the end, in the last days of the election, when he knew he was possibly going to lose, when somebody with the same backward politics stood up at his rally and said, Barack Obama is this and that and blah, 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 he, in a beautiful moment in American politics, stopped the woman and said, no, he's a decent man. He stood for the dignity and the decency of his opponent. He's an American hero. And the fact that the people he was trying to push back at that rally now run his party and essentially are forcing him to parrot their hatred, I think is sad.
Right, but Van, even how he had to answer that is a testament to what his party is. I mean, the fact that he had to say, no, ma'am, he's not an Arab, he's a good family man. Oh, boy. That was, you know, even that, it was like, you know, because, of course, you couldn't possibly be Arab and be a good family man. I mean, just...
It's mind-boggling. And at the same time, this is what I want to say. You know, we have some, I think, very, very scary elements, both, you know, politically in the other party, but and also economically. We have elements in the other party trying to stop our progress toward clean energy. We have political elements that are trying to stop our progress toward coming together against spreading fear. I think what we've got to do is put America back to work and pull America back together. That is that we've got to be clear about what we're for.
Van,
go ahead. You know, people working together to renew this country, and that's going to be clean energy is going to be central to that, and people coming together and putting aside, you know, the hatred and the bigotry against gay folks and immigrants and newcomers and black folks. All that hate agenda has got to get pushed back. If we stay focused on the country we're trying to build, which is a country that has, you know, jobs for everybody and where everybody has a place, I think we can get past this stormy season.
Let me say, just while we're on the fear-mongering tank, let me say three more words to you. Senator Sharon Angle. because quickly before we go, Van, I mean, that, I don't know if you heard what she said yesterday, but that is typical of the kind of horrible sort of playing to people's worst instincts that some people in the Republican Party do. She was talking about how, you don't want to pay for people with kids with autism. And I mean, it literally is like playing to, like, oh, well, if you don't have that, you don't want to have to help people that have that, you know?
Sure.
I mean, it just was awful. Did you hear it?
I missed that. I was in New York yesterday and seeing some family, but here's what I do know. The contrast is what we want. People, I think, sometimes think we want to have a conflict with these people. I don't, we got to punch back tactically sometimes, but strategically, it's not about having a conflict with these people. It's about setting the contrast. Let Americans hear what we want to do. And this, again, Bill Clinton, I think, has been very clear the past week. It's not about, you know relitigating health care or any of the past stuff or even the dumb stuff that's being said right now. It's about the future. And what future do you want? And I think that progressives, frankly, you know, have better answers for how we put people to work, better answers for how we keep, you know, the air and water clean, how we create education for people. And we keep focused on that and, you know, punch back on some of the stupid stuff.
Absolutely.
I think people can make a good choice.
Van Jones from the Center for American Progress. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes, Van Jones. Environmental advocate, you know. He was the Green Jones guy. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, I have some breaking news about the boner's boner that you won't want to miss.
Oh.
What? Ball Sex says, well, we'll be right back with that on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. It's a fabulous program.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a very kinky girl. The kind you don't take home to mama. That girl is pretty kinky.
Girl's a super freak.
She's a super freak. Super freak. She's super freaky. Now.
Eddie Fisher, we hardly knew you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 26 minutes after the hour. Jim Ward, another straight man, really hoping for a one last Elizabeth Taylor, Debbie Reynolds slap fight.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
At the funeral. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Yes.
You know, I'm looking at the Republican Party, and not only are they just evil, they're just scary evil now. I mean, you have John McCain saying how he would do what, you know, he would repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And
yep.
He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have them wanting to go ahead and extend the Bush tax cuts, which we all know is basically borrowing more money that we don't have. But and how they've been screaming for the past, you know, since President Obama got into office, how wrong that is, and oh my God, we need to stop this, and screaming about it, and just causing all this hell with the two-party system with that, and now getting the Tea Party in there, and everything like that. And now it suddenly seems that they don't care. And this plan that they have looks more
realize that the Republicans don't care about you?
You know, I've been saying this for I don't know how long. You know, my tumor behind my eye because I watch Fox News has now just became into, I don't know. I just want to become neutered and run away.
Okay. Oh, don't do that. We need you to stay here and fight.
A laser can take care of that. All right, time for another edition.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner!
Oh, for the day when there would be a story about
now,
the boner's
boner. None of this is substantiated.
Of course not.
We're just saying it on the radio because it's a rumor. It's an unconfirmed rumor that everyone should go tell their coworkers.
Yes. If there's a water cooler, head there now.
There are rumors about the boner.
Proceed to the water cooler.
Insiders on Capitol Hill are buzzing about an upcoming New York Times expose that will dare detail an alleged boner affair. Just look for the woman with orange on her.
Yeah. Oh. She got the boner smear.
Wait a minute, what's that?
That's an odd shade of lipstick.
Wait
a minute.
Hey.
And interesting, we just had Marcos Melitzos in studio yesterday. Coase of Daily Coase, a blogger from Daily Coase, apparently was there yesterday at the pledge for
whatever
Flavin Haven,
the Pine Sol for
Pine Sol for America. At the unveiling of the pledge to America, to ask if he was sleeping with a lobbyist from the printing industries of America. Apparently, the boner had no comment.
Wow.
Don't know if that's the same person that is in the New York Times piece, but we shall see. Oh, my.
Really? The printing industry.
Mwah, mwah, mwah.
She kills trees. I can't resist.
Sue in Rockville, real quick. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Quickly, it's not a pledge to America. It's a plague on America.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's much more a plague. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Second of all, I just want to say that I loathe Sharon Angle, but the weasel that is Harry Reid, otherwise known as Milton from Office Space, I'm really starting to believe that Harry Reid has got to go because...
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I tend to be very impulsive when I'm angry. I'm the reason that you can't bring water bottles into Dodger games.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. What are the chances? Right before we talk to Carrie Elleveld of The Advocate, the anti-gay preacher that got caught sending pictures to boys is on the television, is on the CNN up there in lots of spandex, lots and lots of tight fitting attire.
Ooh, yeah, that's
right, then.
Hotlanta. Ooh, man.
All right.
Why is it the biggest homophobes are always the impulse buys? You know? If the mood's right, yeah, I'll flip.
All right. Carrie Elleveld, our friend from The Advocate, got a lot of press this week for, having the audacity to ask John McCain some actual questions about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We played her confrontation earlier in the week with Senator McCain. Hello, Carrie. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Great to have you again. So, you know, we played your audio with Senator McCain, and number one, you just forget how nasty the man can be. Number two, you were asking perfectly legitimate questions. Tell us about this.
Well, you know, I have to say, first of all, rewatching the video of this, which I had no idea, you know, there aren't really supposed to be cameras in the press gallery, so I had no idea there was going to be video or audio that came from it. But right. Rewatching it and listening to it has been a lot more enjoyable than it was in the moment. I would say.
with John McCain's spittle flying at you.
Yeah, I mean, actually, people have asked me that. Did he get anything on you? The answer to that is no, just so everybody knows. We can put that to
good.
Rest now.
Good.
Okay. Just his hate.
There was no exchange of fluids. Okay.
You guys feel better, don't you?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
So, you know, it was interesting, though, because this is in front of about 40 reporters, and it was just after the vote had been taken to sort of kill this effort to get the defense authorization bill, which has Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal attached to it to the Senate floor. And, you know, Lindsey Graham and McCain were doing a press availability, and they were sort of gloating about how they had won the politics of this and whatever. And you know, reporters hear a lot of nonsense, right? I mean, this is what politicians traffic in. But at some point, they sort of crossed the line from political rhetoric, and they started talking about how the policy is enforced. And no one asked how the policy was enforced. I don't know how they got off on this tangent, but Lindsey Graham said something like, well, I know in the Air Force, you know, we don't go into people's private rooms to figure out if they're homosexual or whatever. And then McCain felt the need to sort of back that up with his own statement of how we don't go and seek out people. And I was sitting there, and like I said, reporters kind of let a lot of stuff pass because you just hear so much nonsense all the time that you get kind of used to it. But I thought, I think we've crossed over from political rhetoric into just flat-out lying now.
Right, mm-hmm.
And that's the point at which I thought, okay, I just can't let this stand. Like, I just can't stand it. So I don't even know where it came from. But before I knew it, I was saying, actually, Senator, that's not true. And, you know, sort of pressing it on the point, I was trying to sort of nail down Senator McCain on him saying, no, absolutely not. There's never been, we've never gone into people's private emails, because I was dead certain that that had happened. I had heard Mike Elmy tell his story many times, and I heard him testify in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, which is the committee that both Lindsey Graham and Senator McCain sit on.
Oh, well, so, please, Carrie, there's been thousands of these stories. I mean, how many people have been discharged? And I think he thought that he was making his point with you by just repeating the same thing over and over mm-hmm. again. He just kept saying, that's not the policy. It's not the policy. I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
Well, you know what's funny about that, too, is that originally, if you listen to it, he's saying, we don't do that, we don't do that. And then he realizes he's in trouble. And that's when he defaults to, it's not the policy. Because there's a difference between saying, it's not done, and it's not the policy. And he defaulted to that. But, you know, then by that time, he sort of, you know, was repetitive and started to turn into a little bit of an Irish jig there at some point.
Well, Carrie, but that's exactly the crux of it, isn't it? It is like Bill Clinton said, this was not the don't ask, don't tell that was that they did not implement it correctly. The don't ask is the first part of it.
Uh-oh, yeah, yeah.
John McCain is sending his... is sending his security for you.
The MPs are coming after you.
Well, actually,
John McCain has just called in an airstrike against you, Carrie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I know. Actually, I hightailed it to New York the next day because I thought I better get the heck out of Dodge. Who knows what's going to happen
right.
here?
I know.
But anyway, isn't that exactly the crux of this? Is this was not implemented correctly. What you were saying was absolutely correct to Senator McCain.
Was not implemented correctly. And if you talk to people, and you know, Richard Socarides, he was LGBT advisor to President Clinton, not when the Don't Ask, Don't Tell compromise was actually worked out, but a couple years later. And he's pretty knowledgeable about what people thought was going to happen at the time, after, you know, talking to people in retrospect. And from his understanding of it, you know, when President Clinton asked Colin Powell what will this policy look like, Colin Powell told him, well, you know, people will be able to go to, for instance, a gay pride parade, but as long as when they put on their uniform and show up to work, they're not, you know, talking about their sexuality, flaunting it in any way, or letting people know about it, it should be fine. Well, I mean, it is
right.
a far cry from what happened.
Well, exactly, Kurt. Like you say, it became these series of witch hunts and going into people's private email. I mean, you know.
Quite a limp-wristed approach.
and really blackmailing. I mean, you know, they're really blackmailing people. I mean, anybody who wants. I will say that earlier this year, Secretary Gates announced new regulations that hopefully would prevent the type of thing that happened to Mike Almy. So that you, number one, you can't anonymously report someone is gay, and then that's enough to launch an investigation. Supposedly, I mean, we have no idea how these new regulations are playing out. You know, you never know how badly things are going until there's some reporting done. Then, you know, there's that, and then you also can't anonymously, you can't anonymously out someone. You have to be willing to go on record with your name and under oath in order to give testimony. So hopefully some of these more egregious cases won't happen anymore, but, right. you know, the idea that they didn't happen and that they might not still happen is still just completely false. I mean, you could still launch an investigation into someone who never said that they were gay by, you know, someone else being willing to go on record and say, I know
right.
you're gay because of blah, blah,
you,
blah.
Carrie, let me just ask you about, you know, side story. Speaking of, you brought up President Clinton. What do you make of this sort of man fight between Colin Powell and Clinton? Because Powell now disputing President Clinton's claim that Powell sold him on a more lenient version. He said the statement that Clinton's remarks are beside the point since he stepped down as Joint Chiefs Chairman a few months after the policy, the military adopted the policy, and Clinton was Commander-in-Chief for another 7 years. I mean, what do you make of all that?
You know, I don't know. Everybody's version of history is different. I mean, here's what I make of that. No one wants to be responsible for that policy.
Yeah.
Colin Powell doesn't doesn't want to be responsible for it, and neither does President Clinton. And you know, both of them are sort of pointing finger maybe a little bit at the other person saying, hey, I wasn't the person. This is what you told me and whatever. You know,
right.
Colin Powell went to the Hill and testified about this policy. So it's hard for me to believe that, you know, he doesn't have some hand in having. In fact, it's interesting when you think about it. What they originally had was a policy, right? When they put don't ask, when they made the don't ask, don't tell, they originally had a policy of just not allowing any gays to serve in the military, which was ridiculous because gays were serving anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the original policy. Then Clinton said, no, we're going to try and do away with that. Now, whatever you think of his effort to do away with it, whether it was not good enough or whatever, it clearly failed, but the compromise was don't ask, don't tell. And that wasn't just a policy. That was put into law. And, you know, that made it a lot more complicated than just having a Pentagon policy. And Colin Powell actually testified about that on the Hill. And he, you know, when you go to a testimony and you suggest that something ought to be done and he testified in support of that policy, he was sort of, you know, giving, I think, clearance to to Congress to go ahead and pass the policy as a law.
Right. Well, Carrie, let's jump to now because, you know, obviously for many of us, it was just a travesty the other day. You know, we've come so far with gay rights, and we've got 75% of Americans think this ridiculous policy should be overturned. And, you know, and John McCain, of course, as usual on every issue, flip-flopping, you know, the military has come to him now and said we should end this policy. Where do we go now? What do you think is going to happen now?
Well, I think that the legislative effort is on total life support. I mean, there are competing views, but I can tell you there are some people on the Hill, you know, some high-ranking Senate staffers who are very, very, very nervous about this. And as much as some people are saying, well, we might be able to pass something after the midterms, you know, there might be able to be a compromise that's worked out, there's people who are very worried that that just isn't going to happen. The only counter to that is that the Pentagon does need funding, and that you can do a continuing resolution to get them a certain amount of funding, but they can't get all the things that they want through a continuing resolution. There are certain goodies and special projects that they want funded and whatever that can't be done through a CR. And so they will have some interest. The Pentagon itself will have some interest in seeing the defense authorization bill pass. The question is, which interest are they going to prioritize, the funding or the delay of don't ask, don't tell?
Yeah.
You know, Yeah, the other options you have very quickly are, if that fails, and if I were a betting woman, I would put money on it failing. Then you have, of course, a potential stop loss order that the president could issue, because we're still in a time of war, and technically he could issue a stop loss order on that would temporarily stop all the discharges of gays and lesbians. And of course, the California case, the log cabin Republican case out there that just found Don't Ask, Don't Tell unconstitutional. The Justice Department could, in fact, decide not to appeal that. They don't show any signs of doing that, but
yeah.
The president could order the Justice Department not to appeal that ruling.
I think we have some breaking news on that this morning,
yeah,
don't we, Chris?
We do. An injunction to immediately cancel Don't Ask, Don't Tell would hurt the military's ability to fight the war, according to a federal court filing by the Obama administration today in California. They asked Judge Phillips to not issue the injunction, despite her ruling this month that it was unconstitutional and had a direct and deleterious effect on the military. More or less, our administration is going up against the log cabins to keep the ADT alive.
Right. And just to be clear, this isn't what they filed yesterday or last night was very late. But what the Justice Department filed yesterday was not the actual appeal to the ruling. It was just their proposal for what she should order. And, you know, what they're asking, of course, what the log cabins asked was that the injunction go in nationwide and that the federal government couldn't enforce this policy anywhere, anytime, any place against anyone. And what the Justice Department asked was, let's have a very limited look at that injunction. It should only apply to these people and to their locale. And furthermore, we should stay the injunction. We should delay it until we can actually get to, the appeal.
Okay. All right. Well, Carrie, you know, we appreciate you checking in with us. It just, you know, I can't even, I swear to God, I'm just losing patience with the whole, like, literally the other day we had the same callers. I mean, what about the showers? You know, someone pointed out, most men I know, they spend barely a half a minute in the shower. I mean, how long do they think the troops spend in the showers? Like 23 hours a day?
What if I get sexually harassed in front of my entire platoon?
Oh.
Yeah, you know, it's really just plain prejudice. It's plain homophobia. And honestly, if you look at the enthusiasm gap that the Democrats are facing in the midterms, they should be trying to do something to excite their base. And this is not an issue of progressive politics anymore. It polls so high, people have started to see this as an issue of national security and a stain on our national.
I know,
conscience.
Carrie, these arguments are ridiculous. I heard a caller on another show say something like, "Well, it's not fair to the straight soldiers that gay they get to be with people of the same sex that they like." It's like they're not spooning; they're getting shot at and shooting other people. This is, you know,
we should shower with chicks. It's only fair.
I joined the military so I could spoon other soldiers.
Yes. By the way,
absolutely.
Once again, Carrie, nobody's talking about the chicks taking showers together. Nobody seems to have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Carrie Elleveld of the Advocate, thanks as always for your time. Check back in with us again, please.
Thanks so much.
All right, there she goes. Carrie Elleveld.
Huzzah.
Fresh out of battle with John McCain.
Go read The Advocate, unless, of course, you're in the military.
48 minutes after
the
hour.
She's not the policy. She's not the policy. She's not the policy. She's not the policy.
What is he, 8? No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slag Whistle. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour. You know, I'm told I'm very busy this weekend. Who knew? Woo! I'm going to have to go do cocktail hour early. Then I'm doing the Ed Show on MSNBC. I have to go sleep it off because, you know, that's right in the midst of cocktail hour. And then tomorrow, if you are here in Los Angeles, I'll be doing for the Human Rights Campaign, I'm speaking at a garden party for women. I have to get maybe a bonnet, a parasol. I don't know what you wear to a garden party for women. Anyway, you can, up on my Facebook page, if you go to StephanieMiller.com and go to the Facebook page, you
can.
And Twitter. Mm-hmm. Look at me. Anyway, you can find out how to get tickets to come join us helping the Human Rights Campaign tomorrow here in Los Angeles. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Charles in L.A. Yes. Hi, Charles.
Hi. I got an angle on angle and an angle on the don't ask, don't tell.
All right.
Well, on angle, she's against abortion, but she's also against maternity leave. Sounds like a conflict of interest to me.
Yes. Just keep your legs shut. That's her platform.
That's mine towards her.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, honey. Thank you. Oh, John in Asheville is just checking in. He's still drunk. He just wants us to know. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, Steph?
Hey. Hi, John.
There was one thing that I noticed when I was in the Air Force. Because I was a very poor airman.
Yes. Well, did you fly drunk?
No, I don't fly.
Oh.
Airmen don't fly. Officers fly. Anyway, when you went in to have to clean the showers and stuff, you know, we had to clean women's showers too, you know, because we had co-ed dorm. But if you noticed, when you went into the women's showers, they had like a little wall.
Uh-huh.
You know, between the women.
Uh-huh.
They could do that in the men's shower.
Yes.
You could, but they didn't.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought that was always a little bit strange. And, you know.
Sorry, John, they had walls? They had walls between what in the shower?
Stalls. They had
shower stalls.
Shower stalls, you know, between the shower heads.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So nobody had to look at anybody's naughty bits anyway.
Well, but that was only in the women's shower.
Couldn't.
Oh, okay.
But in the men's
All right,
showers,
so they could put that in the men's shower. All right, John.
No, I didn't suggest. I just used military showers when I was in Haiti with the troops. And
oh, did you?
Very private.
Huh? Oh,
you have your own private shower stall.
Well, great.
I mean, they even had that on MASH.
As long as it wasn't built by Halliburton.
Well, I think a lot of husbands and wives would like their own private shower stalls.
Halliburton puts glory holes in.
You know, by the way, you know the right-wing host next door? He tells me it's way more information than I need to know about, you know, he and his wife and I don't know.
Like what?
Than the shower and
like
whatever.
What? Like what?
Oh, well, her personal grooming habits down there in that area. I don't
really?
Know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how we get into these discussions.
A right-wing radio host has poor social skills, no boundaries, and says inappropriate things to women? Is that what you're trying to say?
So unusual.
He said they do like to shower together, and he once dropped the soap, and then he was getting back up again, and he happened to open his eyes about halfway up, and he said, oh, hello, Rabbi. And that was supposed to be a joke about her.
Oh, that's funny.
Her grooming situation
that's
down there.
Wow.
So she wears a talus around her.
Kind of hat.
He's funny.
Wow.
All right, you know, Jim, the Republicans have a new, they have a 409 for America, or 911, or a Simple Green for America, Brillo. I'm sorry. Oh, Pledge. I'm sorry. I apologize. End Us for America.
Mr. Clean for America.
With extra scrubbing bubbles. Who said all House Republicans did was recycle the failed economic policies of President Bush that pushed special interests and multinational CEOs above American families? Who said that?
Chico Marx.
Oh. Representative Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, our first person.
Well, at least they finally believe in recycling. Hello, liberals, wake up.
Hello. Representative Jeb Hensarling, Republican of Texas.
This president and this Congress has put this nation on the road to bankruptcy, and they're pressing down on the accelerator. It is time to press on the brake and put us back on the road to recovery and opportunity.
Using the car analogy.
R is for recovery.
That's the metaphor for America.
Yeah. Nice try.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Republican Joe Barton of Texas.
If we're given the opportunity to be in the majority, we are going to try to repeal it and then replace
right
it
away
with something that makes sense. Well, the sooner the better.
Oh, you funny like you should mention what makes sense. Republicans pledged to America replaces Affordable Care Act with provisions from the Affordable Care Act. I got it right here. We'll tell you when we get back. Except, like I said, they did this with their hands after they said it.
Right.
So it's different. Same provisions, but Republican hands like this, which means recovery.
Which works much better on TV than radio.
Yes. So people know what I mean. People know what I mean. They've seen the commercial. Shut up, Jim. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Don't you think we should re-jingle, John? I think so. Six minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on MSNBC, and it's Friday.
Are you having a party or something?
Uh-huh. Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fuglesang.
It is on fire. Bulls out of order.
Yeah.
Catholic Church says it's a mortal sin for a man to re-jingle himself. Can you believe Shano made Bob Dylan Born Again song My Jingle? America,
take that, Christine O'Donnell.
Our long
John Peterson has re-jingled himself this morning.
I have re-jingled myself, and I've jingled myself all over. And our nightmare is over. Facebook was back up.
Yeah.
I mean,
thank
can you
God.
Believe the Republic survived Facebook going down for an hour and a half yesterday? I shaved my head in green.
Yeah, I don't. Wow.
Didn't notice.
Oh, it was horrible. Oh. For millions of us who just want to sit at home alone by ourselves and socialize, it was
exactly
just terrible.
Exactly.
How the kids are going.
Twitter 2 days ago.
Imagine how many solutions from Sarah Palin for solving all America's problems we might have
How
missed.
Am I going to know what Sarah Palin's thinking if I have no Facebook? We lost Twitter 2 days ago, then Facebook yesterday. Tomorrow, the hacker's going to take down MySpace and see if anybody who's not in a band notices.
Is that still around MySpace? Who knew?
Yes, I'm on it.
It's got e-tumbleweeds blowing through it.
Wow.
It's the new tumbleweed app.
All right. All right, we have a representative, Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania, coming up to talk to us about...
Schwartz is with you.
She will be with us
be with you.
In less than a half an hour.
Lovely.
To talk about what health care provisions kicked in yesterday. All right.
You mean Obamacare? You mean Obamacare? The horrible...
Death battles!
Yeah. I mean...
Okay, thank you. All right, we've been talking relationship smack in the commercial breaks here. Did you know more couples are choosing to sleep in separate beds? Like all the television couples.
Yes.
My parents slept in separate beds.
The McCains do in separate houses.
Yes. The marital bed, a traditional symbol of matrimony, slowly disappearing from American culture. Fewer and fewer couples actually sleep in the same bed, even in the same bedroom for that matter, according to an article in the New York Times. Nearly one in four American couples sleep in separate bedrooms or beds, according to a survey. Two married dudes here? Anybody? Same bed?
Sometimes.
Really?
Well, we both
Squeezy, I don't even want to ask what other... if you're not in that bed, where you are, but...
no, I mean, we both snore. And we have different cats who can't stand each other on different sides of the house. Plus, I get up at insane o'clock, as you know, and she sleeps until 9. So,
Well, I'm sure she purchases the podcast for only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance so that she can hear her brilliant husband's.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Silence.
It's,
for me, if you're my woman, you're sleeping in my bed. That's it. I don't care. I don't care if you're sore.
Caveman.
I don't care if you grind your teeth. I don't care if you kick. If you're my woman, you're in my cave. Although I've been living on the road this year, so I don't even know if I'm still married. I haven't seen her.
Wow.
The National Association of Home Builders says it expects 60% of custom homes to have dual master bedrooms by 2015.
Oh.
Even this will shock you. Even Hollywood couples like Tom Cruise and
what?
Katie Holmes.
No. What?
It's so.
Where could Tom be sleeping?
He's somewhere else in a very straight way. He's sleeping in a very straight way.
Such couples cite reasons related to their quality of sleep. Right. Maybe they can't sleep well because their partner has apnea, restless leg syndrome, or chronic gas.
Well, I guess.
Or perhaps they have restless syndrome. You know what I'm saying? Depending on... So that they want their, in a different bed. Maybe that could be it.
Well, yeah, we used to, in the first wife, we had a Great Dane, and we slept in the bed with the Great Dane, who kicked in his sleep.
Oh, Max kicks. My 120-pound Great Pyrenees kicks.
Yeah. I have a kitten now who sleeps on my head and kicks my eyes.
Oh, we have a kitten, too. We have two new cats, and they raise heck all night, and... I had to pull them out from behind the dryer this morning. They were just going nuts.
I don't judge it. I mean, if folks do sleep better, if whatever makes your marriage work, and marriage is such a crazy, insane thing that humans invented anyway. I mean, whatever.
Fred sleeps directly on top of me. That's my, he's the Pocket Pyrenees. He's the smaller one.
Right.
Like 80 pounds, but he can't, he, it's not enough just to be on top of me. He has to, like, roll over and start grinding into me.
Really?
Like alien, like he needs to actually be inside me.
Is he trying to tell you something?
I don't know. All right. He's
can I film that sometime?
He's a snuggle bug. He's a mommy hand man. Okay.
You can do a show in Tijuana like that.
Oh, boy.
And he's not only 80 pounds, by the way.
I was talking about a pure magical love between Fred and I, and you had to turn it into something dirty.
Fine. In Juarez.
Into a donkey show in Juarez. How dare you?
He's more than 80 pounds. I've tried to lift him.
Wasn't that
my dog's
ZZ
turned
Top
me into Carol Channing, and I don't know why.
Oh, it's wonderful you do it, Carol Channing. Hello, Cujo. Well, hello, Cujo.
Okay. Oh, Edie McClure. What? She has some breaking news for us. Hang
yes,
on.
She does.
It's not even Monday, and we have...
I know what it's about.
She's commentating.
Hello, Edie McClure.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're in your reporter mode. Good morning.
Well, this is my really sleepy... but pretending I'm wide awake mode.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
So yesterday I taped a piece with Bill Maher for this weekend's Real Time with Bill Maher.
Oh, did you tell him about the Satanic Altar?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was a throwback to the politically incorrect days when that woman, O'Donnell,
yes,
appeared on his show. Mm-hmm. It turns out that both John Fugelsang and myself were on one of those shows with her.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so we have a little reenactment.
Do you really?
Yes.
I was in town. I could have played myself.
So we have Cato Kalin, a kid from Kid and Play, myself, and... "quote unquote," Christine O'Donnell.
Oh, this is hilarious! So this is going to air. You already taped it. It's going to air tonight on Real Time.
I'm going to roll it in. Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. look at you with your show business talk. Roll it in. Why?
Oh well, now here's more cross promotion.
Yes.
John Fugelsang is holding his salon at Cafe Muse this evening.
Yes, the Cafe Show returns to Hollywood with who's performing there tonight?
Myself with some Catholic arcane rituals of pagan babies and May procession.
Will you be wearing the motorized nipple tassels that you ordinarily do?
I am refusing to wear those for anybody but you at my birthday party.
Those will only be at my birthday party.
She can make them spin the opposite ways. I still don't know how she does it.
Amazing.
Well, Edie, thank you for the update, and we will tune in tonight, because that's like way too much one degree of Stephanie Miller. It's
yes.
like a collision.
I know.
It's totally that.
All right.
Edie, I will see you on stage tonight, and I will watch you on Bill Maher tonight.
Okay.
And I will see you in the studio for Mondays with McClurg.
Absolutely.
All right. This is the most incestuous little cluster I've ever heard of. All right.
Can I spin what
yes.
you just talked about?
Yes.
When I'm in L.A., I do this show. It's a spoken word show. It's part political stand-up, part spoken word, part poetry. And tonight we have everyone from Edie to Rick Overton to Salazar, who's a great hip-hop poet. And it's a free show we do in a cafe
wow.
on
what
Santa
time?
Monica.
Where?
It's at 8:30 tonight at the Muse Cafe on Santa Monica and Hudson in Hollywood. You can get more details on my Facebook pages. And it's the cafe show, and it's a really cool, very smart. It's mostly political stand-up, but then we put in all kinds of like storytelling and rap and poetry, and it's a dynamite 90-minute free show.
Wow.
Yes, only when I'm in L.A. And Jim Ward
and trying to get me.
Jim Ward performed
tonight,
there last time we did it, and Jim, I'm hoping to get him and his bronchial cough
that
back
was,
tonight.
Yeah, I was coughing my head off all last night, so... I'm not sure I'll make it to 8:30.
You need to put ice in the bong, Jim. That will help your bronchitis.
Shelly in Los
Thank
Angeles.
Thank you, Aqua Buddha.
Hi, Shell.
Hi, Stephanie. I was listening this morning, as I always do, and you were talking about don't ask, don't tell. My son is in the Marines. He served in Iraq. He's in the infantry. And no one he knows could care less the sexuality of the person behind them
right.
or next to them or in front of them. So I just want to make the point that while conservatives talk about it being an issue, I don't know that anyone's even asked the fighting men and women.
Oh, no, I know. You see all these people, Shelley, on this, I don't know which groups they are, whatever the groups are that are, you know, the right-wing groups trying to make sure it doesn't get repealed. And they keep fear-mongering about, oh, everyone's going to quit the military if they have to serve with gays. They're serving with gays now, and they always have.
But we're going to upset the bigots if we give equality.
Absolutely, because it has nothing to do with serving with gays. It has to do with, honest to God, nobody cares.
Yep, absolutely. Well, all right, honey,
civilian,
thank you.
Civilian homophobes care, and that's who these politicians are trying to appease. That's all it's about.
I've always said if a guy likes your ass, he's more likely to save it.
Bill in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
You're talking about the pledge thing. I was just watching Mary Hartman last night with the waxy yellow buildup.
Yes.
And, I you talk about mandates. I still have my Vietnam era draft card, and which I was mandated to hand my life and take on a serial number over to the government. And in those days, you would kill if you were gay so you could get out of the draft. Mm. Now it's a little bit opposite.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Yeah,
well,
I hear you.
You can get a mandate in the Army soon.
You know what? This reminds me of the, what is it called, Jim? The Pine Sol for America? I keep missing.
The Lemon Pledge for America.
Lemon Pledge.
I think we said it.
Mr. Clean for America. Can I have some sales music, please?
They put index on everything.
This reminds me of that. I don't think this is going to fool the kids. Have you seen the schools are putting carrots-only vending machines in the cafeteria?
Yeah.
But with fancy packages. So they look like snack foods.
Do they at least get hummus?
That would be great, actually.
But that's too Middle Eastern. That's the terrorists win.
Students at two high schools, one in Cincinnati, the other in Syracuse, New York, guinea pigs for a new program that's trying to change the way young people look at veggies, marketing and selling carrots like they're junk food. The bags themselves are designed to look more like packaging you'd see for foods like potato chips. But guess what? It's working. The kids are buying them.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they're bringing hummus from home. Hummus from home.
We won't negotiate with hummus.
That's a Kenyan plot. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we got more stuff on the Lemon Pledge and Celebrity Stack as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. It's healthy. It's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You hear me joke all the time about kissing my dogs, but now it's actually no joke, and I'll tell you why. It's all because of Teddy's Pride. It's a probiotic oral care product for cats and dogs. Just one scoop on their food once a day is all it takes for fresh breath and whiter teeth. Have you ever tried to brush your dog's teeth? They don't like it. Or how about having to take them to the vet for professional cleaning? It's expensive and it's dangerous because of anesthesia. I've had dogs at an age or with health problems that I didn't want to risk that. I wish I had Teddy's Pride back then. Well, I do now, and you can too, and you can trick them. It's odorless and tasteless. Even your finicky dogs are going to love it. It's made in the USA and with all natural ingredients, so I love it and it's safe for them. Speaking of safety, it's a serious medical issue. Bacteria from dogs' teeth can actually cause heart problems. For their health and if you're vain like I am and you just like when they have white teeth, use Teddy's Pride. Call 800-699-6530 or click on that Teddy's Pride banner right on my website, stephaniemiller.com. Get your money back guaranteed 60-day supply of Teddy's Pride for just pennies a day. 800-699-6530 or go right to stephaniemiller.com.
I'm bringing the sexy back.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Oh, dear God. Breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking celebutard news out here in Hollywood. Dear God. They're taking Lindsay Lohan to prison. Is that the deal?
Yeah.
No, she's going to court for a hearing.
Oh, whatever. Dear God. It's Paris Hilton Redux. Remember that day with the traffic and the helicopters? And
Oh, we're going to get that again.
Yeah.
Paris is going to go away again. The irony is that cocaine should be decriminalized and Paris should be illegal.
Okay. Oh, speaking of Crookstack, this is actually dumb Crookstack in Royal Oak, Michigan. Authorities say a man urinated on the side of the police station and then walked in one afternoon last week. After urinating, the suspect entered the station in an attempt to file a police report on an undisclosed matter. That's when witnesses informed the police at the front desk of the man's activities while outside.
Well, it was a socialist police station.
Yeah, try not to pee on the police station when you're... They don't like that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Von Ciel in Asheville for John Fugelsang. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Von Ciel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say, as the world's most devoted spouse, my husband and I have been married over 20 years. I had to fight long and hard to get him to even marry me. I had to unseat the incumbent, for God's sake. And I just wanted to tell Mr. Fugelsang, the minute that your precious angel snores, you will be in the guest room so fast you will break the land speed records. It's an awful, awful thing.
I know. No, I live with a snorer and a teeth grinder, but I find a good kick to the midsection recession.
That's her message.
I just reboot her. That's it.
This is nighttime. Not to get too graphic, but this is nighttime at the Bodwan house. Turnover. Turnover.
Turnover. Stop it. I am putting a pillow on your face. Stop it.
In order to get early enough, exactly, to listen to the Stephanie Miller Show, even though it doesn't start until 9 o'clock here, sometimes I have to retire to the guest room.
Oh.
So wanted to let you know, it doesn't mean you don't love them. It just means I need some sleep.
You sometimes listen from the fainting couch in the other bedroom.
Absolutely do. And we do have the animal thing going on, too, because we have a cat and a dog.
Well, then you're all set, Sugar. You just kick them and blame the pets, and they'll just wake up like, whoa.
Yeah. The only rule in my house is the pets must not be moved under any circumstances. They must not be forced to move one iota of an inch.
Well, and your pets are probably like ours. They absolutely refuse to move.
Well, and Max weighs 120 pounds, so good luck.
Well, and see, that's the difference between me and John is I'm going to guess that he outweighs his wife.
Yes, I do.
And you guys have seen my husband. Not a, it's just not a fair fight.
Yeah, all right. Good luck with that.
Kick him and blame the pets.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, I've added a horrendous cough to my snoring. So
that's nice.
Even more.
Oh, a dream come true for Mrs.
Yeah.
Ward.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a one-man band.
Here's some irritating celebrity stack news. Nothing, not even motherhood or decades of aging, gets between Brooke Shields and her Calvins. The 45-year-old actress says she can still squeeze into those damn jeans.
Oh, I was so worried about
not
that.
Breathe.
Oh, my.
I am not one of your fans!
45, two kids, she can still get in those damn jeans.
That's great.
Nothing
I was so worried about
her and her Calvins.
All right.
Oh, that's great.
Squeezy.
Yeah. Tell Agassi that.
What? She's legal now.
Jim, this is bad news for you. Katy Perry's Chi-Chis have been banned from Sesame Street.
No.
I don't know. Her what? Costume was too,
too
I don't
revealing.
Know. Something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Elmo made a comment about her boobs.
Oh, Elmo said nice rack or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. Beautiful.
What did Bert and Ernie think? Oh, they didn't care.
They don't. For some reason, they were immune.
Yeah.
I'm really tired of you casting aspersions on Bert and Ernie, Jim. Okay?
They're too busy looking at their pictures of that preacher from Atlanta.
Folks, Bert and Ernie
sleep
in separate beds, so maybe they're married.
Hi, ladies and flavors. Okay. Let's go.
My Ernie laugh. Thank you.
Wally in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller's. Oh, I did the wrong one. Wally in Seattle.
Yes.
Hi, Wally.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Anyway, we need to go back on this Republican pledge or whatever they call it and call it the contract on the middle class.
Yep.
Call it what it is.
Yep. They took out a contract on America, mm-hmm. and now they have a plague against America. God bless them.
But they call Newt Gingrich Fat Elvis behind the scenes, which I think is great.
Ah. Representative Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California.
We challenge Speaker Pelosi, Leader Reid, to bring these bills up, to change the course of America. And we ask the American public to join our fight.
Oh, please. Bills? They're not bills. They're just the same old that they always come up with. Tax cuts for the rich and
mm-hmm.
blah.
Redistribution of wealth to the upper 1%.
Kill Medicare, kill Social
blah,
Security.
Blah, blah. Representative Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland.
When it's time for a photo op at a small business, Republicans are there. But when it's time to actually help small businesses grow, we find them voting to outsource jobs overseas.
Mm-hmm. And Representative James Clyburn talking about the plague.
If this is implemented, what we are going to see is the infection of a plague on America.
Ah! Ah!
We say it here, it comes out there.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative Allison Schwartz of the great state of Pennsylvania to talk about what actually kicked in yesterday on health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If I hadn't gone into microbiology, I probably would have gone into physics or ice dancing.
It is the, excuse me?
Yes, it is.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour.
Albert Einstein was a fabulous ice dancer. Not many people know this.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We are joined, by Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, one of our close personal friends. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you and I have talked healthcare so much. I'm so happy to have you on today because I'm sure you were as distressed as I was that yesterday, when a lot of these great provisions that you fought for, you know, went into effect, there was, an AP poll out talking about how people still don't know what's in the bill or still have completely false information about it.
Well, it's, you know, it is hard sometimes to really sort of figure out how to relate to that notion that people don't really see the positive in the healthcare bill. But the fact is that they were told, and you know this, over and over and over again, false information, all lies, we'll tell it like it is, about what was in it. And once that is ingrained in people's minds, and of course during that time Democrats were really looking to find the compromise, the best way forward, how's this going to work, really looking at the details. I think to the American people some of that sounded like arguments, but it's what democracy is all about. How do you work this out? How do you find that middle ground? How do you get it done? But once people hear that in their minds, it's really hard to break it down. On the other hand, I'm hearing people say, wow, this is great, I can keep my 25-year-old on my health policy, I don't have to pay that COBRA. That's fantastic.
I'm not going to get you know discriminated or dropped because I have a pre-existing condition.
Exactly.
But I mean, the poll that specifically, I think, you know, people bought some of these Republican talking points. Their taxes are going to be raised. The deficit will be raised. I can't remember what else, but you know, just things that we're really going to have to keep combating. And you have to hope that as the actual provisions kick in, people will start to realize the truth, right?
That's right. And again, some people are saying so. When Republicans scared seniors into saying this is going to destroy your Medicare, and now they're seeing that, in fact, it's strengthening their Medicare. They've gotten help with the gap in prescription drug coverage. They don't have to pay 20% copay for mammograms or, you know, other kinds of screening, colonoscopies. Not that any of us like getting those, but, you know, I mean, you don't have to pay for them at insult to injury here, but you can get the kind of care that you want to get all along. And we wanted to incentivize early care, primary care, health maintenance, not getting sicker. But this is, I'm hearing from seniors saying, actually, this sounds pretty good.
That's
what we need. That's
right.
We need to,
and you know that some of the...
And they have to have that experience, and they are.
Congresswoman, you know that obviously a lot of the ideas in it are good ideas because in the Republicans' new Pledge to America document yesterday, of course they say they want to repeal and replace health care. What they want to replace it with is largely the health care bill that we have. Literally seven of the Republicans' ideas on health care are already included in the health care law.
Done. And in fact, they fought them and they have continued to fight them. And repealing this law is going to be so detrimental to these protections. And I do hope that the American people understand that if they're going to vote for Republicans this year, they are going to see those consumer protections, whether it's credit card companies or health care reform or financial regulatory reform, we're going to go back to, no, we're not going to regulate these big companies. We're not going to provide protections for consumers. We're going to go back to incredibly irresponsible fiscal policies. I mean, this is really on health care reform, they want to go back to let's just do health savings accounts. So if you're employed, you can put some money aside. You don't get really sick. You know, you're upper middle class. You know, some people find those extra benefits sort of appealing and helpful. I know some of those folks myself, but it is not an answer to affordable, meaningful coverage for all Americans.
Congressman, let's review so people know what exactly happened yesterday. Insurance companies can no longer discriminate against children with pre-existing condition.
So they're trying to.
Drop coverage because of a simple mistake on an application, institute lifetime caps, limit choice of doctors, charge more for emergency services obtained out of network, levy deductibles, co-payments, or co-insurance for certain preventative benefits. Children will also be able to stay on their parents' plan, as you said, till their 26th birthday, and everyone will have the right to appeal insurer decisions to an independent third party.
And death penalties. You forgot the death panels.
No,
death
there's
panels.
No death what? Panels, Jim.
No, that I was misinformed. Sarah Palin told me there were death panels.
That was the other thing in the poll, Congresswoman. People think there's death panels. I mean, you know, it's going to take time, isn't it?
It's going to take time. And there are no death panels. And I'm finding myself not even wanting to say those words. But maybe we have to. Maybe we have to say there are no death panels. There are no panels of government bureaucrats who will be reviewing your medical records and making medical decisions. And in a positive way, we have actually, and you've just listed a great list of really egregious insurance, standard insurance policies that have meant that people have been buying insurance, paying for insurance month after month, year after year, and then they get really sick and find out that there is a annual limit. Sorry, you are not allowed to actually get cancer and a cardiac condition in the same year. Or, you know, you know, just some of these things are just unfortunate. They happen to American families across this country. Kids, you know, who have serious medical conditions, who are excluded from coverage for those conditions, will no longer happen in this country. You will have stronger protections. Your coverage will mean something. So it's, you know, we're going to keep saying this. And the access to your choice of physicians, what it says that your plan cannot limit your choice of your primary physician, your OBGYN, which is, you know, sort of standard. This is very important. We do believe that Americans should have the right of choosing their physician and be able to get the kind of coverage that we know will make a difference in their health and in the cost of health coverage.
Right. Well, Congresswoman, you know, it seems that one after another of these candidates says something you just can't believe. I don't know if you heard this Sharon Angle yesterday. You know, I think essentially sort of mocking autism, kind of saying, oh, you know, I don't want to have to pay for that. That's going to cut. I mean, isn't this like playing to people's absolute worst instincts? Like, oh, you don't have that. Why do you want to pay for other people that have this? I mean, it's just.
Right. Which is really what insurance is all about. And I think that, the Republicans are perfectly willing to say we're not in this together. But the principle of insurance is that the more people, the bigger the risk pool, then it means that if one person gets sick, it's a lot cheaper for all of us because we're paying for it now. And I think that's what Sharon Angle's missing, that is really the reality, is that we are now all paying about $1,000 more a year to take care of the people who have not acted responsibly and bought insurance. And we're going to say, no, you know, everybody's got to do their part.
Yep. Well, I mean, I'm looking at it right in front of me, this Republican Pledge to America. It has seven of the ideas there are already in the health care package, and they're trying to sell this to Americans while at the same time saying they're going to defund or try to repeal health care.
That's right.
And that makes no sense.
That will delay for another. I mean, they said this all through the debate. We like some of this. We don't like others. Let's just scrap it and start all over again. So we'll do it in another 10 years, 15 years.
Mm-hmm,
let those
exactly.
families
right,
pay
and this,
more.
This,
what's the big deal?
Right.
And they can just go to an ER. Do you remember when President Bush said that? Oh, Americans can get health care. They can just go to the local emergency room.
Right.
Is it too late for us to begin calling it health insurance reform instead of health care reform? Would that have been a better way to sell it?
Probably. I don't know. You know, the fact is that it is an insurance model. It's a private insurance model. What we're really is saying, you're going to have more consumer rights in when you buy insurance, and that is a good thing. We tried talking about it as insurance, and some of the changes in insurance. But, you know, I think the broader point is, you know, really talk to Americans about what this really means to them and their families.
Yep.
And, you know, it's where people say, wait a minute, this is helping me. It's not helping. It may be helping somebody else, but it's also helping me.
Yeah.
And that's
important. I mean, I just have to hope that over time, like I keep saying, that it's going to become more popular as people understand what it really is, like Medicare or Social Security, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, this is, you know, if Americans say this may be a better way to do it, well, that we have, when we pass something as complicated and big and also as personal as health care reform, we also know that we may not have gotten every detail right, which is why it's not set in stone. We'll keep working on
right.
it.
Right. But that's why. But
it didn't work exactly right. We can modify. That's why it's taking a couple of years to
But Congresswoman, that's why this, you know, Republican Pledge to America yesterday absolutely makes a lie out of everything they've been saying, because this is what the president said all along, that we're in agreement on how, I can't remember what percentage he said, but a pretty high percent. Well, obviously they were, because they have half of the same ideas
That's
in
right.
their thing. And so
and
then you think, why didn't you come to the table at the time and help us
because
finish
they simply
this.
Wanted to say no, and they've been doing that time and time again. Different subject, but we passed small business lending bill. That is a very bipartisan idea. You know, you might even want to say this is a Republican idea. We're going to make sure there's some dollars to small community banks to get out, you know, lending to small businesses that are desperately in need of line of credit. And they go, no. You know, you just say, what's going on here? You know, this, it's just, I think they just, but again, you're absolutely right. American voters have to understand that to repeal health care reform, to start all over again, means you're on your own. And the Republican principles really are, you're on your own. You go out and buy insurance. They're even saying that to seniors, understanding that making Medicare a voucher program where you're going to say, okay, to seniors, you're 85 years old, here's $5,000 of tax credits, you go find insurance for yourself.
Well, I love that they're packaging them like new ideas when it's basically the same old policies that got us where we are. It reminds me of those.
Exactly.
Remember that year policies. NBC ran like reruns and they're like, if it's you hadn't seen it, it's new to you.
Yeah.
It's like
exactly.
It's a rerun.
They have pictures of, you know, of John Barron saying exactly the same words. The same words.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years. Newt Gingrich saying the exact same words. Look, their policies failed the American people. They really decimated our economy. We're building back. You know, we're talking about the future and building on the policies that are really work for Americans. So not going back to policies that have failed Americans.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Allison Schwartz of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Oh,
thanks
yeah.
as always.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. There she goes. 45.
So in other words, we get Nazi health care and death penalties.
Yes.
That's what I got from that.
Thank you, Jim.
Do as we did, not as we say.
Thanks for paying attention, Jim. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, dear. John Fugelsang has some very important breaking news.
Yeah, I mean, this is bigger than John Klein leaving CNN, bigger than Colbert being asked to leave the Houses of Congress. Legendary Swedish pop group ABBA has stopped the far-right Danish People's Party from using their hit Mamma Mia at all their meetings.
Yes, we can.
Oh, thank God.
ABBA has stood up against the Danish right wing.
Yeah, we can, but they're from Sweden.
By the way, Fugelsang is Danish for far-right wing.
Yeah. I knew there was another reason I loved ABBA. All right. John Klein out at CNN. That's
John Klein is out at CNN, yeah.
Is it too late to undo his decision and have me replace Larry King? No? Yes? No?
You have too much charisma to fill the Piers Morgan shoes. They're,
now, wait a minute. So, Stephen Colbert had barely seated himself in a House Judiciary Subcommittee this morning when John Conyers, the patron saint of Stephanie Miller Show, asked him to leave. We have to get into this whole story.
But Charlie Rangel can stay.
Conyers said the committee had not seen so many reporters at a hearing since the presidential impeachment proceedings in the 1990s. He wanted Colbert to leave so the committee could carry on with its work. Colbert, however, did not budge, saying he was present at the invitation of the hearing chair, Zoe Lofgren, saying that right, of California. Anyway, I don't know. Just entertaining.
So he asked Colbert to leave. I mean, Colbert was talking about farm worker solidarity. That's the last thing I read on Twitter, that he was standing up for that. And I guess it was a little too much truth for the room. Don't tell workers to organize.
Can I have some advertising music, please? Why, look at this, John.
Yes? Tell me, love. God, you look good. God, you fine.
Thank you.
I have missed you for so long.
Thank you.
Last time I saw you, I was packing up your SUV for you to drive back. It was raining, and I was putting bikes into the front seat. You got a whole bit to do, and I'm just deviating. I'm taking over the show to hit
pardon
on you.
Me.
I'm
pardon
just.
Me.
I'm sorry.
Pardon
it's
me.
Just, fine. Folks, if you could beat the pheromones in this room. My Jim Ward's weeping. He's shaving his head in grief. Damn. I mean, I want to let you have your show back, but you just look so fine. You make me glad to be a man and sorry to be a man at the same time.
I'm wearing a slightly gauzy see-through T-shirt, for those of you that don't know.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah, you just said it. You make me glad to be a man and hate to be a man at the same time. Damn you, Stephanie Miller.
You're an
damn
odd
you.
Little child.
Take
All
your,
right.
Take your show back.
Here are the Republican Pledge to America ideas.
They're lemon fresh.
for health care. Insurance across straight lines, high-risk insurance pools, pre-existing conditions, a lifetime and annual capsule, rescissions, state innovation, conscience protections, all of those already in the health care plan that we just passed that they voted against.
And lobbyists something rolling around in slop.
Oh, here's some breaking news to nobody. The Bush administration, a bunch of war criminals.
Oh, shocking.
This is just more evidence.
Please.
I don't know. Is anyone compiling at least a file for The Hague? Something?
Yeah.
The Bush administration has long maintained they had not decided to invade Iraq until days before it actually happened. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing.
But thanks to the Freedom of Information Act.
Yes. They did everything they could to avoid war in Iraq. President Bush even claimed the American people can know that every measure has been taken to avoid war.
Yeah, right.
You might want to load the liar cannon, Chris. Yet there's evidence the Bush administration is from its very early days actively plotting to go to war with Iraq. We had the British memo, that said Bush made it clear the U.S. intended to invade whether or not there was a second resolution, and even if U.N. inspectors found no evidence of a banned Iraqi weapons program. The National Security Archives has now obtained a newly declassified document that details talking points that emerged. Rumsfeld, this will be in his book, maybe.
My goodness. My goodness gracious.
Between Rumsfeld.
My stars and garters.
And Tommy Franks.
Doesn't that just take the cake?
Mm-hmm. The participants
I'll
in the.
I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Is that a known?
In the Rumsfeld-Frank meeting discussed...
There are known gnomes and unknown gnomes.
In your gnomobile.
They discussed possible ways to provoke conflict with Iraq, including an attack by Saddam Hussein against the Kurdish North, the U.S. discovering a Saddam connection to 9/11, or the anthrax attacks. A dispute over WMD inspection appears from the language of the talking points. The Bush administration had already decided to go to war with Iraq and was looking for an opportunity.
Yes, when they begin it with how start and then list all those reasons.
Yes.
I read this yesterday on a great site I want to tell your listeners about. It's vetvoice.com. If you're a progressive who cares about the military, vetvoice.com is a dynamite site, and they were the first place that I read this. Check it out. But, yeah, they knew all along. Aren't you shocked? Aren't you shocked? They were just looking for an excuse to invade Iraq?
Yeah, no, I was shocked. I tell you, shocked.
I can tell.
Why must you turn my office into a house of lies?
What is that from?
Simpsons?
I think so. Oh my goodness, the small business bill cleared Congress. What? Something got done to actually help. You know, I have this strange feeling this might actually help small business, which I think we sorely need. Wow. That's good news. Also good in the good news pile, Vice President Joe Biden promised Democrats they would keep control of the House and Senate after the midterms.
He said, they're not using it.
He said, I guarantee you we're going to have a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate. I absolutely believe that.
Oh, boy.
I absolutely believe that.
Okay.
I also believe the moon is made of green cheese. And that...
Well, he has the
Cubs
same...
The Cubs are going to take the pennant this year.
He thinks, like I do, that what will close the enthusiasm gap is the ever more startling parade of candidates that they're elected, that they're nominating on the right.
You know what? I'm just like, Republicans, save yourself. It's like the Catholic Church at this point. They're turning into a suicidal cult bent on destroying themselves by letting the crazies take over.
That's why they're all wearing Nikes.
I'm telling you, man, Republicans, I know some of y'all listen. You got the freepers out there. Once the Tea Partiers have eaten all the liberals and the progressives and the gay people and the academics, they're going to come for you educated Republicans next, and they will eat you.
Both of you.
By the way, speaking of the gays, the anti-gay comment left on an internet site discussing gays in the military appears to have come from Senator Saxby Chambliss District Office.
What a shock.
Case currently being investigated by the Senate Sergeant at Arms, which comes just days after a push to allow gays to serve openly in the military. The comment from a blog known as Joe My God said all F words for gay man must die. It was left by a user identified as Jimmy, who blog readers trace back to an Atlanta office building where Chambliss has an office.
The sad thing is Saxby can run on that and win.
Yep.
I mean, that's not going to hurt him with his base.
Oh, here's good news for America. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin gave her strongest indication yet she may run for president.
You betcha.
Say she would jump into the race if nobody else were to step up.
Also,
Howdy, also too, in addition.
Why do I think, in spite of a field of 15 candidates, she'll still jump in?
Yeah, no, because I'm sure no one else is running, Sarah.
Oh, no.
Dope.
Of course, they might have hunting accidents. You never know.
The girl VP's got a gun, you know. She hears her word salad as usual.
The girl VP's got a gun!
Whoops!
Everybody
oh my
runs.
God, that's the might be a little thinning of the field by accidental acting.
Worked for Cheney.
Why don't you want to go hunting with me and Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
Well, a reason to run if nobody else were to step up with the solutions that are needed to get the economy back on the right track and to be committed to our national security, that they are all going to do all they can, including fighting those on the extreme left who seem to want to dismantle some of our national security tools that we have in place. If nobody wanted else to step up, Greta, I would offer myself up in the name of service to the public.
You know what that means, liberals? If you want Obama to be reelected, start donating the Sarah PAC now. Because the only people who want her to run are the progressives and really, really dumb conservatives. Until she gets bored and quits halfway through the first debate.
What kind of ego does it take with her brain power to think she's the only one that could solve these problems?
Mitt who?
Man.
It's beautiful.
All right. JohnFugelsang.com, is that the website?
That's the website. Tonight at the Cafe Show in Hollywood with Jim Ward. He's appearing with us.
Oh, boy.
And come to John. And on the Twitter. It's great to see you again, Steph. Right. You're beautiful.
YouTube, baby. That's it for us. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.